The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2. This is a gracious thing, when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you are straying like sheep, but am now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and destroy and kill. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is from John chapter 15. "I am the true vine, and the Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's an island in the Pacific where they have an old custom of when a young man wants to marry, he has to pay for the daughter. Having three daughters, I kind of like that. And there was a very wealthy family, and their son John was going to get married. So the custom is that he would go to the house, talk to the father, negotiate a price. Now, the going price for the average bride was one cow. Boy, there are so many good one-line jokes here. But anyway, now she was a real beauty and had brains. Then she was a two-cow bride. All right, so if you got paid two cows for one of your daughters, she was good-looking and probably very intelligent as well. So John goes to the house, and he's talking to the father, and he offers eight cows. Now, the young lady, Lisa, she couldn't have won a beauty contest if she tried, and very shy, very withdrawn. Nobody could believe that he offered eight cows for Lisa. Now, custom in this group was, now this sounds kind of wild, the newly married couple go to a nearby island for an entire year, and it's just the two of them. The idea is they will get along one way or the other. All right? So John and Lisa go to the island for a year. They come back, and everybody wants to see John. They haven't seen him in a year. They're really excited, and they don't even notice John. They notice Lisa. She was beautiful. She was talkative. She was completely outgoing, completely opposite of what had left the island a year before. So they asked John, what exactly happened? And he said, I'll tell you. From the time Lisa was born, she had been treated as though she was not worthy of very much. She had begun to believe what everyone said about herself. But I announced to the community that she was an eight-cow wife, and I have treated her just that way. She has become the vision of herself that she sees every day in my eyes. That's what the devil likes to do to us. Tell us we're not worth it. Now, why would God care about us? But God says something entirely different. Throughout Scripture, he says something entirely different about ones that people would have written off. Oh, he's only a shepherd boy, but he becomes king with the heart of God. Oh, she's just a widowed, childless woman. No, she's going to be the grandmother of David. She's just a young girl, but she's going to be the queen of the nation and will save the entire nation of Israel. That's Esther. Oh, she's just a prostitute. No, that woman will be in the lineage of David, and that's Rahab. Yeah, Rahab the prostitute from Jericho. Had to think where she was from. Anyway, you know, one of the problems with the English language is it has many different words, can have different meanings. You look up in the dictionary and there's like five or six. Well, grapevine is one of them. One definition is the vine which grapes grow on, and we're going to look at that definition first. Now, here's something you probably didn't know. The oldest grapevine is 230 years old, and it's in Hampton Court. No idea where that is, but I want to look this up. 230 years old. One of the roots is 12 feet across. Some of the branches measure out 120 feet from its base. It's just this one vine produces between 5 and 700 bunches of grapes every year. And the bunches of grapes that are picked at the end at the 120 foot are just as sweet and good as the ones that grew near the base. Grapes, of course, gather their nourishment from being attached to the vine. Excuse me. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they will gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. The other definition for a grapevine is what? Gossip. All right, now, I wish I could sing, because this is a Marvin Gaye type of moment. Okay, can you picture the California Raisins? Those of you who are old enough to remember the California Raisins. All right. Somebody want to sing this one for me? It took me by surprise, I must say, when I found out yesterday "Don't you know I heard it through the grapevine? Not much longer would you be mine. Oh, I heard it through the grapevine." Scripture says, and we just read, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Don't worry what the grapevine has to say. Because when you're connected to God, there's only one whose opinion matters. So when you're connected to the grapevine, that is God. He's the only one that matters. It's from Him that we gather all the nourishment that we need for our faith. Excuse me. As a result, we're going to act and walk entirely different. I'm talking about the walk of life, not just physically walking. But we will act and walk differently if connected to the vine. The devil, though, comes and says otherwise. Now, we don't have to follow the rules. That's when the branches fall off the vine and they're useless. Now, when we're connected to the vine, we get the truth. "If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." When we're connected to the vine, we also have an understanding of things, and when we hear them going, "That's contrary to the word of God," or "That's contrary to God's promises. This is contrary to God's will for my life." Now, God wants us to know, starting in verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And if you seek me and find me, when you search for me with all your heart." We have an inheritance that comes from God. When we're connected to the vine, we get an inheritance. Now, one of the great stories of inheritance in the Bible goes back to Numbers chapter 27. And what the story is, this father died, and he only had 5 daughters. I like the name of one of them, Noah. Can you imagine naming a girl Noah? And I think the dad named it and just said, "I really wanted a boy this time," so gave Noah a boy's name. But anyways, that's totally outside of this. Now, the father had quite a bit of wealth. That's what we gather from Numbers chapter 27. And they don't know who the money's going to go to. So the 5 daughters go to Moses and plead for their case. "Just because father didn't have any sons, why can't we have the inheritance?" Then Moses lays down, you all have read Numbers, all right? It takes a long time basically to say, all right, here's the way it's going to work. If he doesn't have any sons, the daughter gets it. If he doesn't have any daughters, then the uncle gets it, and on and on and on. But these 5 women pleaded for their inheritance that was rightfully theirs. By the way, it's the first real stand that we have in the Bible for women's rights, where they're going, "No, we can have this inheritance because it belongs to us. Our father had it, therefore it belongs to us." When we're connected to Jesus, the vine, all right, we get that inheritance. Those 5 girls, including the one named Noah, went with boldness to Moses. By the way, that's quite remarkable in this time frame where women would go to the leader of the people and want to talk to him and plead their own case. Very unusual. But they go and they're very bold when they ask. God's answer, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. Then you call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." God rewards us when we claim our inheritance from Him. Hey, how many times have you used that expression, "Let me think about it, let me get back to you on it"? See, Satan, that's nothing wrong with the expression. Satan uses that when it comes to God's promises. Think about it, worry about it later. Faith is not a waiting activity. Faith is an action word. As a result of being an action word, yes, what we do does show our faith. Now, I want to read from 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Can you imagine getting your name because you were a painful birth? Anyway, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain. So God granted him exactly what he asked. He was bold enough to go to God, and he says, Lord, this is what I want. Of course, God grants it according to his gracious will, and if it's according to his will. But whether it was the five women going to Moses or Jabez in 2 Chronicles, there's a real boldness there. Excuse me. Why was Jabez commended in 2 Chronicles? Because he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He went to the Lord with his prayers, and he laid them at the feet of the Lord. Everything that God has, the Father has given to Jesus, who shares this inheritance with us. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. When we pray, do we go boldly before the Lord when we pray? Probably not. You know, we're scared to lay it out in front of the Lord. Why? There's examples in the Bible of them going, whether that was to Moses or Jabez before the Lord, and boldly saying, Lord, this is what I need in my life, and may I have it if it's according to your will. God usually answers our prayers with the best is yet to come. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.